Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for the works of redemption and the Holy Spirit that you've richly given to us. We thank you, Lord, that out of this vessel today, we shall dispense forth your truth that will be liberating and will be a light that shines away every manner of darkness. God, as we begin this series, I pray that every listener, God, will grasp this truth about giving, walk in it, and practice it throughout their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a lovely moment you are having. I promised, and I'm doing this. It's something that I promised to do it for a while, and here we are. Before we start, I want to make this disclaimer that it's important for us to understand that everyone can read the Bible, but the difference comes with understanding. Because without understanding, we'll start defining or putting our own meaning to Scripture. So it is important for us to come to this realization that I have to read the Bible to understand. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that in your reading you may understand. I've written so that in your reading you may understand. And I want to kick off with John chapter 5 verse 37. Scripture says, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." Then look at verse 39. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me." Jesus begins in 37 saying that the Father has testified. He's not going, he has. So we need to look at that as a past tense. By the time Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, he was saying the Father has testified of me. And then he continues to expound the same. He says that you search the scripture thinking in them you'll find or you'll have eternal life, yet these scriptures testify about me. So where did the Father testify about Jesus? In the scripture. So right interpretation of scriptures will lead you away from Jesus. But the right interpretation, the wrong interpretation of scriptures, will lead you to the wrong understanding of scripture, and hence leads you away from Jesus. The right interpretation of scripture will always testify to you about Jesus. Even the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, he says he will take what is of mine and testify this to you. John chapter 16, let's just dash there. John chapter 16, look at verse 12. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you." So he will tell you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit will tell you what is to come. What is that is to come? It's all about Jesus. What is of Jesus? So the Spirit of God is still testifying about Jesus. He's still declaring things about Jesus. So when the writer, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, that what the Father has already testified is concerning him. So when we read scriptures, we need to see the testimony of Jesus. Revelation says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit spirit of prophecy. So that spirit of prophecy is about Jesus. Prophecy is something to come. So it means the Spirit of God will prophesy, will speak forth what is to come. What is to come is still Jesus. So when it comes to studying the Bible, wrong placing of words, wrong interpretation of words will always lead us to the wrong understanding of Scripture. And that is why Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy and he's giving a direction. And from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul is telling Timothy, the testimony that is hidden in the scriptures is concerning salvation that comes to us through Christ Jesus. So missing this reality is a massacre of Scripture. Missing this reality is buttressing the understanding of Scripture. Then Paul made this very clear in his letter to Timothy, and he's saying all Scripture which is profitable, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It has an advantage of doctrine, that is teaching. So Paul is saying that from a child you've known the Holy Scripture. These Holy Scriptures that you've known are able to give you skill, which are able to make you wise. This is skill to understand, skill to rightly interpret. And the right interpretation is about salvation. So it means the right teaching, the right doctrine, the reproof, the correction, instruction of righteousness is leading us toward to salvation through Christ, salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because when you look at that wholesomely, it's very, very important for us to understand that scripture does not contradict itself. And without right interpretation, it is us who are contradicting ourselves, because the word of God is constant. It's constant. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul's prayer to the church of Ephesus is that they may be filled with understanding. I wish you can read it in Amplified, that your eyes may be flooded with light. So flooding means that it is surpassing, is overwhelming, it's beyond measure. So your word, look at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of God, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ. So Paul is saying his prayer to the church of Ephesus is for them to grow in understanding, being flooded, for them to understand what He has written or what God has done, which happened in Christ Jesus through the resurrection. Says that exceeding power that is working towards us, that rose Christ from the dead. We need to come to that understanding. So every believer shall come to that understanding. I know we are talking about giving, but I'm just laying the fundamentals, the guidelines, things that will be able to guide us through and bring us to a better realization of what the scriptures are saying. So one thing you need to know is Jesus must be the only, or must be founded solely. He's the only person who should be founded or who should be revealed when we read scriptures. It is very important to know that. It is very important to know that. And you should not error on that at any day or any place. And without that, we don't have scriptures, or we don't have the right interpretation of scriptures. Look at we're talking, I love this scripture that I read in James chapter 1. In that James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. That is a very, very loaded scripture. Because the subject of giving is a major theme in the New Testament. Look at this. For God so loved the world that he gave. So the subject of giving is a major theme in the New Testament, and also a major theme in the Old Testament. So it is good for us to know when we don't approach the text or the scriptures of the Bible with clarity or with understanding, we will think that giving is a by the way. And it is important to provide a full view, a full understanding, so that we get to know the intended message or intended meaning by the writer. This is done when you start reading the scriptures in detail, marking and seeing the detail, so that every believer should not be led astray by wrong doctrine. You error. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, he says, we are twisting these things because we are not learned. We are not able to decipher. We are not able to rightly interpret. We are interpreting them to mean our own. So we are erroring. We are actually going into error. And this is because wrong interpretation. And why? Because of no teaching. And it's important. It's important that when you read the scripture, try to ask yourself some questions that are very important of Bible interpretation. It is a very, very important, because untaught believers are usually unstable in their thinking. And they are easily tossed to and fro. Our theme for the church, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, tossed to and fro and carry about of every manner wind of doctrine, craftiness, deception. Why? Because they are not grounded. And this shows you that spiritual growth is not happening to that believer. Activities in church does not mean you're growing spiritually. Activities in church does not mean you're growing spiritually. And if you're a believer who is easily inf- inf- influenced by every manner of doctrine or every manner of information coming your way, then it means there's a stagnancy in your growth and you need to work on it. You need to intentionally. Growth is an intentional thing. It's not something we pray. We can pray, lay hands on you, pour oil, shake you, shift you, dance you, run you, do all manner of activities. But the truth is, we've just exhausted. We just caused you to do activities, but you've not grown as a believer. And not just mentioning the name of Jesus, it does not mean it's a right doctrine. Miracles can happen out of ignorance, but miracles are maintained in knowledge, are sustained in knowledge. The greatest miracle a believer can get is after getting born again. Being born again is the greatest miracle. But after being born again, the greatest thing a believer can do is grow. Now grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Now grow. So grace was given, but the responsibility of every believer is that we may grow thereby. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, that you may grow thereby. So there is a desire that needs to be there constantly for you to grow. I'm saying all these things because of the things I'm going to share concerning giving. And you will be able to know, am I a spiritual babe or have I grown as an individual? Have I grown as a person? You know, the blessedness of a believer is not tied to the material things the believer has. The blessedness of a believer is tied to the works of God, that is the works of Christ. And our discovery of what Christ has done is the experience of the blessedness of a believer. So how does a believer know or experience the blessedness of God? Is by him coming to the knowledge, understanding of what God has done. And that is now spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is when you grow in understanding, knowing who God is true and what God has done. And after knowing that, you discover, I am in him who is true. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20. So you have to come to this realization that every believer needs to grow spiritually. The growth of a believer is not measured by the times he has spent in church, by the activities he has done in church, by the many things that we... The growth of a believer, spiritual growth, is tied to understanding. Because the moment you understand the things that Christ has done, practicing them is not a struggle. Doing them is not a struggle. A believer who has grown will never struggle to give towards the cause of the gospel, will not struggle to be a blessing to his local church. But a believer who's still a baby will always compare notes before becoming a blessing. I say, a foolish man in faith, a person who's given his intelligence to faith, will always enjoy the intelligence of God in his engagement or her engagement. But a person who is smart to faith or tries to topple over faith in the name of being smart will always struggle to enjoy the benefits of faith. I'll give you a story. One day, a while ago, there's a time a door was being closed somewhere, and my pastor instructed and said, you young, just jump on the door and pull it down. You are able to. I was hesitant, still processing and thinking, but a friend of mine jumped and he pulled the door down. Then I helped him. Immediately, I asked myself, why? Why did I? Because I became smart. I started asking, jump, why don't we? Why don't we? But the person who acted of faith did the same agenda. And later on is when we discovered that the door, the following day, we said the door was faulty, but that night it could not be left open. So there are times where faith will demand a foolish act to accomplish a mission or a decision or a purpose. But if you try to outsmart faith, you will end up asking many questions that are not there. I'm not qualifying the foolish things that we do in church in the name of faith. Faith is knowledge. Faith is knowledge. Faith is knowledge. So James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. So you lack wisdom, you ask for wisdom. And when you look at that, James is saying that a double-minded person is unstable. God does not look for the mistakes or the pluses you've done for him to determine what to give you. God is generously a giver. God is a generous giver. He gives without holding back. He gives without blocking or putting you in levels. This mistake I did, this mistake I didn't do, this mistake. God is just a generous giver. It is man who gives best on levels of engagement, or God just gives. The levels of engagement, the understanding, faith, without faith is impossible to please God. Without faith is impossible to receive, to act of what God wants you, divinely act what God wants you to act. So it means my level of faith, which is the level of knowledge, which is understanding what God has done or who God is, that is, he gives generously, that level of faith will cause me to act and behave in a certain manner. I will struggle on the things of faith because of what? I am double-minded. It says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. So it is not that God has given. It is you receiving. God has already given. But the receiving aspect demands our faith. God has already given healing. God has already given. If you have faith small as a mustard seed and you speak to this mountain. So that's faith that demands us to tap or receive what God has already given. So God does not start acting because you have spoken. God acted. So what we are doing is we are embracing his action by faith in us speaking. So the reason why God has acted, he's put everything in motion. It is in our speaking. It is in our speaking that we are actually confessing, being in one with God to act out what God has already accomplished. God does not start working when you've started believing. No, God's work finished. Now it is me to agree to come to that level of faith, level of understanding that God, he's done it, so I am confessing it. I am faithing it out to receive what God has already done. He does not look for any mistake, because scripture says every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from God. He has no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change. God, our Father, is a giving God. He gives to all people. Not just Christians, all people liberally, without finding fault. So, despite what you think, despite what you say, if your faith, you are not taught or grounded in such a truth, you will struggle. you become very unstable. If you don't ask in faith, you are unstable, a double-minded person. So it means where I'm seeing wavering or faith doubts is because I have a double mind on things concerning faith. Glory to God. That's why Paul says you should not be like children tossed to and fro. In this subject of giving up, many have been tossed to and fro. We only embrace what favors us, but we don't go to scriptures and ask questions. You know, the moment you start arguing, should I tithe, should I not tithe, should I give, should I not give, should I plant a seed, should I... Just know you're a spiritual baby, you need to grow. You need to grow, because when you grow, right now you are, when you are young, you used to cry for your mommy's milk. But as you grow, you detest. You are not told to. When you are 10 years, you don't, you say, yuck, tasting bad. Why? You've just grown. So there are some things, some questions that are running your mind because you've refused to grow. Today I ask you, grow. As we study this, all we are looking at is for our growth. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and the advantage, the profit of that scripture is doctrine, reproof, is for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it is important for us to come to this realization that when we are struggling in an area, it's because we have not grown in that area. So we have to look at scripture in a clear manner so that we are able to grow in the things of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking for a scripture. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others. As you listen to this message today and you listen to the upcoming series, I want you to deliberately teach the people around you. Grow them in the things of God. Challenge them. The skillfulness that you are getting out of these teachings, teach as many as you can in this season and the seasons to come. Discipleship is key. Your pastor alone cannot be able to disciple people, everyone. But with your help, as you are being equipped, as you are growing in the things of God, grow with people in your estate, call people, engage people in your office. You are in a WhatsApp group, engage people. If you find tough questions, reach out to your pastor, engage people, grow in the things of God. Challenge yourself to grow and grow with others. So when you look at what Paul is telling Timothy, that these scriptures, these holy scriptures, you've read, continue in these things. These things are going to give you skill. It says these things, and today what you're hearing of me, commit them to faithful men. And this is what I'm encouraging somebody outside there. And I will tell you, when you find arguments, always ask yourself three questions. What is the genesis? What is the genesis of the story? Am I here to cheer? Number three, or am I here to cheer or bring clarity? Number three is, will my contribution disseminate love or pride that I know it all? What is the genesis of the story? Am I here to cheer or bring clarity? Number three, what is my motive? Is it love or pride? Those are very key important things. I usually ask myself every now and then I enter into a discussion. And the moment I realize pride is taking over, I drop out of the discussion and I move on. It's a discipline I'm training myself. I'm not yet there. I'm working it out. I'm not yet there. But I have to technically and intentionally. There are things that I know. There are things that I've read. There are things that I've studied. But I feel they are too much and too loud for now. It might bring a havoc. It might stumble somebody's growth. So challenge yourself today. Challenge yourself today and grow in the things of God. That is very, very key. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 25. When Jesus is walking to, and he meets these two disciples discussing, and they ask him, are you new in Jerusalem? And the conversation continues, and in verse 25, then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. So all the prophets have spoken the sufferings of Christ and him entering into his glory. Then where did he begin? He began all that beginning at Moses. So this shows you how we need to read our Bible, how we need to read our scriptures, how we need to look at things, how we need to decipher scriptures. He says, at beginning from Moses and all the prophets. So when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he says that before they were written, before everything, from Moses and all the prophets, Moses and all the prophets. So what happens when I see something in the prophets? I should first ask myself, what did Jesus say concerning himself, the suffering and entry into his glory? So it means between the scriptures, all scriptures, so it means scriptures, things, holy scriptures. Holy means set aside or sanctified, or it's dedicated for a specific purpose. So holy, these scriptures are holy writings. They are writings that were specifically set aside for one purpose. Holy scriptures, to be able to speak, testify. John chapter 5. My Father has testified of me. So these holy scriptures were a testimony about Jesus. And that is what Moses wrote, testifying about Jesus. So what Jesus was saying, these scriptures that have been set aside was of a specific purpose to testify about me. So when I read Genesis to Malachi, I need to see the testimony of Jesus in the conversations and in the writings of those scriptures. Because Peter says that even in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, that this salvation, the prophets had inquired and searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that should come. So the prophets have inquired and searched diligently because they prophesied of this grace that is to come. John 1:14, he was full of grace and truth. So this, they prophesied about Jesus who was to come. So verse 11 says in 1 Peter chapter 1, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 20, knowing this fact that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the glory to God. For the prophecy came not in all time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is inspired. So the moving, the changes that were, the prophecies that were being spoken in the Old Testament were concerning Jesus. And they were inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. But holy men of God spake as they were moved. So their speaking was caused, was catalyzed, was influenced by the Holy Spirit. So they did not just speak their own mind. They aligned themselves to what God wants them to speak. So it is important that when you read these scriptures, you need to know what was the influence, what was the intention, what is the intent of that scripture. So it is not of private interpretation. Most of our giving or things that we read about giving, we are putting private interpretation. A truth that has stayed on board for long, a lie that has stayed on board for long does not make it a truth. Truth is truth. No matter how long we've stayed on a lie, lived on a lie, sustained on a lie, when truth shows up, the lie collapses. Despite the story houses and the strength that has been put to have strong pillars, the lie will always crumple down. Lies will never compete with truth. Truth will always outshine the lie. And the light, the life that was in Jesus became the light of men that darkness cannot comprehend. So that darkness of lies, that darkness of misconception, that darkness of misinterpreting scripture cannot stand the truth of the gospel. Glory to God. So this is a reality that we need to come and know that. It is God that is the truth. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of power or has power to establish us according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So this secret that was kept, the mystery, the secret, was concerning Jesus, his suffering and entry to glory, or the glory that should follow. So that revelation of that mystery is able to establish us, is able to enlighten us to a truth. And nothing establishes us truth. Truth liberates, truth strengthens, truth gives life. So whenever we have the truth, we have life. So what do you need as a believer is the truth about giving. That will liberate you. You know, one thing I tell people, when you discover the truth about giving is when you will discover you are a stingy person or you are a giver. A stingy person will use that as an excuse not to give. But a generous giver will say, now I have seen the redemption plan. I've seen what God has done. I will give my best. This woman who comes and gives all that she had, Jesus looks and says, she has given the best. She has given because she gave out of faith. She gave everything she had. Can you give 100% because of the light that has shone your way? Or will you still be double-minded? Now you understand why I brought the issue of double-minded. Unless it's asked of faith, he will not receive anything. It's not that God has not blessed you. You're already blessed. It's not that God doesn't want to give you what he wants to give you. He has already done it. All you need to do is engage faith. And I've told you, at times, shelve your smartness under the foolishness of faith. Man will call it foolishness of faith, but it's the smartness of the kingdom. That by faith, I can do something. I can be a blessing to my local church. And we'll talk about these different things, about giving to the poor, giving to the widow, giving to all these people. It's not that it's bad, but I want you to walk with me throughout this series as we discover the truth about giving. Hallelujah. So God is able to establish us when we get this gospel right. This gospel is the wisdom of God. This gospel is the enablement of God. This gospel is the mystery that was hidden and now has been made known. This mystery that was hidden from ages and generations is made manifest to the saints. Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. His suffering, that he may enter into glory. Where is the glory? In you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory to God. There's a place where Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father of Christ. Glory to God. So the doors that are open, even this series, I pray this month as we start, that God will grant us boldness to continue speaking these mysteries, to ground every believer in the right doctrine. Jesus is our doctrine. Jesus is our teaching. Luke chapter 8 verse 10, and he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What was the mysteries of the kingdom? Christ in you, the hope of glory. But to others in parables, that seeing they might see, not see, and hearing they might not understand. There are people who will listen to this, but they won't understand because they have refused to grow. They have held their traditions. They have kept their traditions closer than the word of God. They are loud on their traditions. And Jesus says, we have twisted and brought the traditions of men as the gospel and missing what God wants us to do. That's why Paul says that when you read this, you may understand. You may understand that what I was speaking to you is the wisdom, is the mystery, this hidden wisdom that was ordained. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I wrote afore in few words. So what did Paul write up in few words? The mystery, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery in Christ, mystery of Christ. What did he write a few words? Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So there is an understanding you get into this, an understanding you get, you grab, that the mystery have been, when somebody says, I have some mysteries, all you need to understand that these mysteries have been made known to us, has been revealed to the saints. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So everything that I need to hear is about Christ. Oh, his suffering and entry into glory. So that informs my identity in God. And that is the blessedness of a believer. My identity in God is the blessedness of a believer. Hallelujah. So, when you look at all the scriptures, and you look at it, Paul says, these mysteries have been made known to us, have been revealed to us to the saints. So it means when I read the New Testament, it means I'm understanding or being explained to what God spoke in sundry times, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In sundry times, God spoke in diverse manners unto our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, who is the ultimate, who is the glory, the totality of God. So in those days, it was in divers proverbs, figure of speech, hidden language, symbols, signs. But now in these last days, we see Jesus. Oh, we see Jesus as he is. So this means when I read the Old Testament and I come to the New Testament, what I'm getting is an explanation of the Old Testament. It's an explanation of the Old Testament. And that is salvation through Christ Jesus. Salvation through Christ Jesus. That's what you find in all the scriptures, in all the letters in the New Testament. Is an explanation of our salvation, our identity through Christ Jesus. And that is why those scriptures that we read from Moses through the prophets, Genesis to Malachi, is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There is no way you can preach the gospel without the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament, you don't have the Bible. So no one should ever lie to you that now the Old Testament is done. The Old Testament has details. The New Testament points us to the Old Testament to explain to us what those symbols, details meant by then. So every subject matter must be established and taught from the explanations of the apostles, and that explanation is explaining what the Old Testament is saying. Why? Because there's some teachings we need to get, there's some proof, there's some correction and instruction in righteousness. And that is what Paul told Timothy. That's what Paul told Timothy, and is what I'm telling you today. We should never teach any other subject or doctrinal or any other gospel other than what we've read in the apostles. Titus 1:9 says, Paul writes to Titus and tells him, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lack's sake, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, bullies. Verse 14, not giving heed to the Jews' fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. So it is important for us to know that when it comes to doctrine, it comes to reproof, it comes to correction, it comes to instruction in righteousness, there is something the apostles were loud on, and that is explaining the misconception, the misjudgment that we've had before concerning the scriptures. John chapter 5. You search the scriptures, thinking in them. So quoting, misreading the scriptures, put the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in a corner when Jesus was asking questions, because they were reading the scriptures, yes, but understanding was lacking. And that is the reason why Jesus came to give us understanding. So it is in that understanding we are able to rightly interpret and dissect the scriptures that were written before. So we must teach what we've been commanded to teach, and we will be able to learn and examine the subject of giving well enough and in a better way, just like the apostles and just like Jesus and the apostles taught us. For they say, scripture says, for there is no other foundation man can lay except the one that has been laid by Jesus Christ. And our building today is built on the foundations of the apostles. Paul tells Timothy, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to them all. Thy profiting may appear to them all. And Jude says, contend for the faith which was once delivered to you. So it is important for you to know that when it comes to doctrine, we have to rightly divide the word of God. We have to ground ourselves to the right foundations. These apostles are helping us understand the right doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. So he's telling Timothy, stick to a certain kind of doctrine. Stick to the right doctrine, not any other. For this is the right doctrine. The doctrine that gives us the mind of Christ. What is that doctrine? That doctrine that this prophet, Moses, the prophets, the people, the fathers of faith spoke about. His suffering and his glory. Father, we thank you today. We bless you, Lord, for what we've heard. May we walk in this reality as we begin this series of giving. May this word go beyond today. May this word ground us and bring the light of God in a brighter manner like than never before. I pray that every man and woman who will listen to this, their generosity towards the things of God will grow in leaps and bounds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.